Cherise, what, how do you pronounce properly your name?
Shireen,
look at that. I knew there was a catch to it. Shireen, okay, yeah, Shireen from Massive Scar Era. And thank you very, very much for being with us tonight at the Metal Meltdown. I think the last time you were here was like, wow, I didn't even want to say it.
Yeah, 7 years ago.
Wow, you know, I'm gonna look into the archives and maybe later put some of your words from 7 years ago and see what you said and how you sounded.
Oh my god, scary.
Okay, maybe not. I'll just send it to you. That's it. Nobody else will see it. Yes.
Okay.
So I guess, I know you and Massive Scar Era, but for, you know, the people that are not as acquainted as you and I, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how long has the band been together and how many, you know, EPs or LPs you have out?
So I started Massive Scar Era in 2004 in Alexandria, Egypt. And we started as an all-girls band. And back then, there wasn't really anything in my country that was any close to a big, big metal scene. But it started growing a little bit. Also, we were like maybe the first girls ever to play the genre live. You know, I don't want to say it's a small community. I want to say more it's a tight community. And we started to have some followings, and then I had to leave Egypt to come to Canada after the revolution. And this is when my idea for Massive Scar Era has shifted a little bit, because it was hard for me to find members to play the music that, you know, like Massive Scar Era hasn't always a project that involves mixing Egyptian traditions and culture with metal music, and it's hard to continuously do this while the members are either not from there or not culturally diverse themselves. And being in Vancouver was not easy, because, you know, like we all know, Vancouver is not diverse in terms of musicians, so access to musicians was hard. And you know, immigration is hard. And then I moved to Montreal. So having consistent members didn't make sense to me. And I switched my work process into making collaborative projects that would turn into EPs. And honestly, like even the two EPs I released while I was in Vancouver, the people were different in them because, you know, it's hard having consistent members anyway.
Yes. Okay.
So that's how I work. Yeah.
No, sorry. Go ahead. And
yeah. So basically that's how I work. I'm like, all the musicians I worked with before are all my friends, and I hire them every now and then. And, you know, like it just depends on what the sound I want to go to. And I feel like it's like a non-monogamous relationship with them.
That's a great analogy. I love it.
Yeah, it's nice and fair because they get paid nicely, and you know, like everybody's happy. I can work around their schedules, and I can pick and choose. You know, it's a very loving exchange.
It's a win-win situation.
It's a win-win. Honestly, being in dance sucks.
Well, what can I tell you? I've only been in one, and it didn't suck. But anyway, that was a long time ago. Yes, I hear you about the band situation, and so I guess how many EPs do you have out, or Massive Scar Era has out? No, tricky question.
I don't know why I don't count them. I think it's 7.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty good.
Wait, let me count them again. It was like Reincarnation, and then Unsummary Territories, and then Precautionary Measures, and then Comes Around You, and then 30 Years, and then Colorblind. And then Metal Goes Egyptian. Yes. 7.
There you go. That's very good.
Well, it's an old band. Like, it's from 2004, so.
Yes. Yes, I hear you. And, yeah, no, that's good. So I guess the... So on the you know, on the 7 EPs, like, did you had like in any of them like a particular theme for all the, you know, songs that were in that EP, or are they more like whatever is happening through, yeah, or they don't have a particular theme, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask, whether they do or not at any EP.
The seven EPs that have released before?
Has any of the 7?
Well, I would say no, not really. I think I used music for the longest time as a way just to express myself. And then it's been almost like 4 or 5 years that I've been doing, I've been more of a cultural practitioner rather than a musician and singer-songwriter. So, and I think it's just me growing up. Like, when you grow up, your interest get, like, your perspective on things gets different. Your relationship with your culture gets different. Also, I started studying a lot, and, you know, I come also from like academia background, which has a process in how I, yeah, it has a process in everything. And I just started to, maybe from starting from Metal Goes Egyptian, I think this was the first really project that I invested in a research aspect in it, you know, like, yeah, before I would just like write the songs, and then I had my bandmate who was always with me before immigrating, and she had a specific point of view on how things were supposed to go, and it was kind of like a both creative decision on how things should go. And I feel like once I liberated myself from that, I explored other ways of working with the Egyptian traditions and with the metal and with the culture overall. So Metal Goes Egyptian, specifically, I focused on introducing Egyptian microtones and scales to metal music. And I am also in the process of working on the 8th EP. That 8th EP is more intense than the one that I've just released.
Wow. You keep challenging yourself.
Yeah. The one that I'm working on right now, I went on a research process for the past 2 years before executing it, and it was mainly revolves around a specific tradition in Egypt called Zar music. And Zar music is a type of music and dance that aims to reconcile with spirits. So a person would come to a specific Zar group, for an example, with a type of illness or anxiety, or they feel that there is something that embodies their body.
Yes.
And the Zar group is led by a leader. We call her Akodia, and she's a female. And the usually she's the one who notices the interaction of the person with the songs, and then realizes and identify which spirit is haunting their body, and then she then recommends what the person should do to reconcile and befriend with that spirit so they can gain control over it and, you know, like, may like be friends with it, basically. So I went on a research process for 2 years, learning the traditions, learning the songs, like getting into the community, all of that. And then finally I applied for another grant to do the execution. So I brought the group here in Montreal last August, and then we did a workshop residency for a month to write a mishmash, you know, like a combo, a mix of metal music. and Czar Music. And Czar Music is very, very progressive in terms of it's fronted by percussions, and it's mainly all time signatures, polyrhythms, which mesh very well with the metal. They also, both of them, have the intention of building a trance, which meshed very well with the metal. And then we had a show, and it was a fantastic presentation. People were so interactive. We were down on the floor with the audience. And then we recorded the EP, and then now I'm working on the production of it, in a nutshell.
No, that's... Wow, yeah. That sounds really, you know, amazing. I mean, the whole process, I just can imagine seeing it live. Like, it has to be... It has to be like a super blast, like, envious of the people that got to see it live.
Yeah, it's like it was something that, yeah, it was very, even the promoter said it. That's just a thing, like, it's so new and fresh that I haven't seen it before. Because, you know, the Czar group is down on the floor with the people, and they use they play skin drum. So whenever they see a person interacting so much, like head banging with the music, they start circling around that person, and then they create the trance. And I am so fortunate to catch this on the camera. I had three camera people taking all the angle, and the woman inside the pit, I would call it a pit, but I feel it's more of a trance. They were like just being around her, and she was surrendering to it, like, she was into it so much, like it was something. And then the trance would keep going until I felt like, okay, we can move on to the next section. So I took that part of leading this in a way. So it's a mix of, like, we learned the song, but also we're feeding off of what the audience wants and how they are interacting. So it's to me, it's humanizing the performance again, because metal is so rigid. It's so rigid, like you go play on a metronome and you don't, mm-hmm. you know, you don't mess up your parts. You have to be tight. You have to be no impression, you know. So that humanized metal to me. And it's something that my culture has a lot, the improvisation aspect of things. So it was a good intersection.
I see. And is that available, like, on YouTube, or are you trying to produce it to release it somewhere else or some other media?
So so right now I'm in the process of finalizing the vocals. The show that we played, some of the snippets of the show you will find on my Instagram of Massive Scar Era. You'll find it right away. You'll see a bunch of Egyptians. You'll know that these are Egyptians. They wear ethnic clothing. You'll be like, oh, you're going to see it. But the performance itself is not released. I edited some of the videos to apply for festivals, hopefully. I am assuming that this EP will be released, hopefully, by next year. I'll try to shop it for labels, but I doubt that labels will be interested. It's so avant-garde. I don't know if they'd be interested or not.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there might, and I mean, you know, that's, I mean, it's a little different, but you know, the first Apocalyptic IP, right? It was completely different. Like, there was nothing like it in the market, and somebody either.
That's true. I actually talked to their manager in a forum for managers held by EMA. And he was talking about this, but I feel like still Apocalyptica are a bunch of white people. You can still relate to the European music, while we are Africans, and we are already, by being us, we're labeled as world music. The moment they see us, they're like, what world music? Why? Yes. Apocalyptica will put, you know, you'll never hear an orchestra and you would think of them as world music. But us, if we play our own orchestration, it just falls into world music, and it confuses everybody.
Yes. No, you're right, because it's a very unique mix, because it's, I mean, it might be world music, you know, if you want to put it in a single category, but it's metal, and metal in itself, you know, it's something different. So, and the two of them together, my goodness, it's just like, yes.
Well, you have to come from somewhere different in order to be like, yeah, that's metal, you know? But I feel like the industry is run by very Eurocentric standards that it just keeps everything in a box. So people can't know the nuances between nations in Africa or in the Arabic speaking world or in Latin America, you know, or in South America. They don't know the nuances. But it takes someone from these nations to be like, yeah, there is a difference. Even if they don't recognize it, but they sense, they know the individualistic aspect of every nation because they are living the same experience. So it takes that person to be in a position of executive decisions to be able to sign a band like us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, on the other hand, like there's a lot of bands that produce their own records and distribute and do everything themselves, and some of them have become, icons or very well known, to the world, you know. But Bad Religion is one of them, and so I mean, at this point they might be big, but you know, the first 4 or 5 albums, like they did it all themselves. So,
but it takes that you work with the correct people, and I feel like the industry model right now is like, I don't want to be just like too pessimistic about it, but just like all the industries, people are working together on a retainer basis, if you know what I mean. Like, yeah, it's just like a loop.
No, you're realistic. I wouldn't call it pessimistic. You're realistic, and you're right in, you know, all the things you're saying, right? The boxing and the, yeah, at the end of the day, it's for profit, and you know, I mean, it's, that's a reality.
Yeah, and even if you have, honestly, like the orchestra, like the orchestra project, like Metal Goes Egyptian, is funded by the Canadian government at the end of the day. Like, it's funded by Canada Council. So I had money to market, to hire people to do marketing, but good luck finding them because they are all in a retainer. Like, yes. It's just not, people think that if you have the money, you can do whatever. No. No, you cannot break into the, like, You can't break into the cycle. You have to be in it.
Yes. No, correct. And everything, yeah, everything is, everybody charges for their time, their talent, their whatever, which is not bad. You know, it's fair, but like you're saying, like, yeah, you need to, that's why you need to get grants and stuff, because you need to, if you want to do, you know, things properly. So, yes.
Yeah, and they are mostly on retainers. That was my problem, is that when I reached out to some of the like agencies or like anything that has related to marketing and publicity, they are on a retainer with labels, and they don't have time for you. So even if you can't pay them their fee,
they're just
on a retainer, and I understand, I get it. You know, they're just, they have 2-3 big labels. The labels are producing so many artists, and they just send them to them, and they don't have time for you.
Yes. Yeah. Well, again, yeah, this is a world. This is a world we live in, like that Genesis song. I'm going to encourage, you know, people to listen to your EPs that are available on the, streaming platforms, and please let us know when there's something that we can hear or see, and I will love to spread the word. Where can they find Massive's career on I guess social media? Do you have a website too, or?
Well, the website is Massive Scar Era. All the social media is Massive Scar Era. And the new EP, Metal Goes Egyptian, is on Bandcamp. And that's the best way to support the project, is through Bandcamp, of course. But, you know, like Spotify, if they just type Massive Scar Era, they'll very easily find it.
Well, sounds wonderful. And I'm gonna have to listen to everything again. I haven't listened to it for a while. So we'll do a little Massive Scar Era marathon. And then, we'll wait for the next one that is in the making.
But did you listen to the new one, The Metal Goes Egyptian, that I just released?
I've seen...
Or not yet?
No, not yet. I've seen, like, pieces, like... I can't remember
with the
where
orchestra.
Yes. I saw little pieces of that video.
Yeah.
But not the full. Yeah, I haven't listened to the full thing.
It's all on YouTube. I made the entire, because it's like in studio session. So the in-studio session with the orchestra is on YouTube, and it was all filmed and recorded with an Egyptian, with a traditional Egyptian Arabic orchestra, and it was a fantastic work. I've learned so much. It was not easy. Egyptian music is not easy, so the mix was, yeah.
No, it's I really, really, you know, admire you, because the I mean, not only for everything you've done since leaving the country and leading a, you know, all-female metal band in a country that was not that friendly to either of them to begin with. But then, you know, whenever anybody mixes, you know, Eastern and Western musics, or, you know, Middle Eastern in this case, or Arabic with, you know, Western, is just... It's almost like a miracle, because they are, I mean, I know it's music, but I mean, but they are so different. So it's I see it as like a true challenge to be able to, you know, combine the two and create something, you know, as beautiful of the music as the music you do.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I would really love to hear your feedback after you listen to the songs.
Sure. I will, obviously, in private, unless they pay us. But actually, I should put my commentary on your Bandcamp, and then, you know, yeah, you can make more money then, you know. Listen to Dr. Mysterio's feedback on, you know, EP number 7, number 3. There you go. Yes, that sounds like a marketing plan. Oh, awesome. Well, I want to thank you very, very much for being in the show again. It's always a blast. And yeah, hopefully we'll get a chance to, you know, to meet in person again. So meanwhile, yes, keep us informed when anything new happens.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me. Fear.